Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner who has a product, a service, or a message that you believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look into the real-world marketing and networking tactics and strategies for getting what you have in front of you to a lot more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and now let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited for today's episode. Obviously, I know all of you love the interview episodes so, so much, as do I. I have a good friend of mine on here today, Marsha Bench, and we are in a group coaching program together. We connected, and we actually see eye to eye on a lot of things. Number one, she is also an author. A 27 times author. So I have some catching up to do, but I do have time to do that. But she's also a leading entrepreneur and thought leader growth strategist for coaches, speakers, authors, and experts. And what I love about what Marsha teaches, she practices what she preaches. And I really feel the best teachers are also the best students. And, you know, Marsha would agree with me. You guys can't see her, but she is nodding her head that, you know, when you are in the coaching space, you have a responsibility, not just to be a coach, but to be a student. So you can always up level your coaching practice to bring the highest value to the client that you serve. So without further ado, Marsha, welcome to today's episode.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's great to be here with you. And I'm so glad that we've had the chance to get connected.
Absolutely. So again, there's a lot of people will talk about thought leadership and certain aspects of coaching. And, you know, thought leadership is one of those buzzwords that people use, but they don't really know what thought leadership is. Before we dive into the meaning in your eyes of what thought leadership is, share with the audience a little bit about your journey going from being a lawyer first out of school to now being this 27 times author, speaker, coach, everything that you're doing now. How did that journey actually take place?
Well, it's always a little bit of a challenge to condense it down when I get asked a question that's that big, but you know, what it really comes down to is that just like all of our listeners, that calling inside just wasn't going to go without being noticed. You know what I mean? I changed my major three times in college, trying to figure out who I was going to be when I grew up, and eventually ended up with a psychology degree and a music minor, and went to work in a larger law office than I'd been working in going through school. And thought, oh, I can be a lawyer if I have another few years of school. So I went back to school and became a lawyer. And very rapidly, it wasn't actually that easy of a decision, but that's not relevant to what we're talking about today. But in any event, it just wasn't as positive of an environment as I wanted to be working in. Let's just put it that way. You know, it's people getting even with each other. It's, you know, even though I went out and did seminars for employers and tried to make it proactive, it just wasn't like that. And so I literally had one of these divine downloads in the middle of the night for the first book and the knew where to pitch it, to teach it, taught that quarter, and then just continued to do a class a quarter at the local community college here in Portland. For a few years, trying out different topics and really finding my way to my purpose, actually. And so it was a matter of, 2 years after I got out of law school and passed the bar, that I decided that I was going to take my work on the road. I'd been doing a few seminars here and there, like I mentioned, but I wanted to do more with it. So kind of like one of my mentors and people that I admire, Wayne Dyer, who left his tenured professorship, of course, to go follow his path. I sold my law practice to my associate, published 16 cases of my first book, and bought an RV, sold the house, and headed out on the road for 9 months. Yeah. So it sounds so gutsy now, but at the time it was just like, I'm following this course that really is leading me forward. And so while there was some level of risk, it didn't feel like I was giving up something that I couldn't come back to, you know, if I wanted to later. So did 65 seminars. Hay House picked up the book, and they kept it in print for like 12 years. So in fact, I just ordered another copy of it today because I'm about to put a display behind me with some of the work that I've done. And it's just so funny to, you know, see some of the older work that I did. But anyway, it's kind of like you hang around long enough, you've got a library of work. And so you've got courses, you've got books, you've got, you know, clientele all over the world. And I didn't find coaching until after that, long after that, actually in the late 90s. And started my first coaching company in 2001. So I guess the rest is in a way history. I ran that business for 19 years and sold it last year, and then started Transformational Thought Leaders from there.
Love it. And Wayne Dyer, you know, rest in peace, was just an outstanding human being. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Shift. And it's by Wayne Dyer. And anyone that's listening to this, I highly, highly suggest going onto YouTube and typing in The Shift by Wayne Dyer. It's a 2-hour movie. Portia de Rossi is in it. So that's the only probably notable actor that you will recognize from this movie. But, and Wayne Dyer, obviously. And it's just an incredible learning lesson that he teaches in this movie about, you know, shifts happen in your life, and you have to lean into certain aspects of your life as well. And obviously you leaned into that 100%, no turning back, jumped in that RV and went on the road. And again, I think when we are so conscious and so confident about our decisions, we don't realize they're as gutsy as they are. And again, I can completely resonate with that. You know, just 5 years ago, I filed for personal bankruptcy to close one business to then lean into another one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of people like, wow, you know, that must have taken a lot of guts to do that. And at the time it was like a no-brainer. Like I wasn't even like thinking like, should I do it or shouldn't I do it? I this was what had to be done. And you're just so present and conscious with where you are that it doesn't seem as gutsy as when you then look back, you're like, man, that was a pivotal moment. And, you know, now owning and selling multiple businesses now, which is an accomplishment in itself. I want to jump into the concept of thought leadership, because there's a lot of people that truly don't understand what that means. So if someone was to come up to you and say, hey, Marcia, how would you best describe what thought leadership is? What kind of definition would you put to that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it has a couple of different way, you know, perspectives, I guess, or viewpoints. but I think the most important is kind of related to what we've just been talking about is it's the courage to really put your own thoughts and ideas out there in a way that you're trusting is going to resonate with the right people. Because there's no competition for your life purpose. I believe that sincerely. Life purpose, teaching people life purpose has been a big thread through everything that I've done, because I believe that's really where your most profitable venture is going to lie, whether that's a career or whether it's a business, is when you're monetizing your life purpose. In terms of we each have a unique perspective on our thing. And I, you know, in your fitness industry, I'm sure you had all kinds of other people that were doing similar things, but they weren't Scott. You know, there were all kinds of other people that do business coaching as I do now. And they just don't have the same kind of mix of unique experiences and perspective and education and life that I do. And so when you really get that, you don't get so concerned about who's going to like it and who's not, because you know you're going to draw the right people to you, and the other people are going to find their person, whoever that is. It's like a yin and yang, a perfect, you know, key for the lock type thing. I went to Paris 2 years ago when we had our 25th wedding anniversary and got to see the Bridge of the Locks. It was so cool to, you know, just to see, you know, that is how it feels. when you really make that connection. So I think that the leadership in ideas, staying on the cutting edge, being able to see what's coming in an industry or in a niche and be able to sort of help people prepare for that is part of it. And then the physical evidence of thought leadership is you've got products, courses, programs, a following, you know, perhaps a podcast like both of us have, and those kinds of things to where you've developed a tribe around you, some of whom are paying clients and many of whom are simply consuming your free content, but they really are like, you can't wait for the next episode because they like the perspective that you bring. So that's how I would describe it, I guess, in kind of a not too small of a nutshell, but anyway.
So my question, you know, this is an interesting one, but you kind of brought it up out of me, so to speak. You know, there's a school of thought that people believe that we need employees and we need people to perform certain jobs in this world, you know, doctors, dentists, lawyers. But then there's another group of people that believe that there's a passion and a deeper burning desire inside of every human being, you know, their purpose, their calling, what they've been meant to do. Where do you fall in line with the people that truly believe they have that calling, they have that purpose, they have that passion? But also, what's your stance on the fact that in society, we do need a mixture of those dreamers and those people that create, you know, products and courses and services and coaching to serve the employee-based part of society that still helps the engine run the way that it does?
Well, I don't really see that those have to be two separate things, because ideally, if everyone is using their gifts in the, you know, to their fullest, like an Indian tribe, right? Everybody's contributing something. So, you know, the people that do one function don't have a passion about doing the other function. That's the ideal. Now, I don't know how long it'll take us for that to happen. I was in career development in my early part of my career, and the statistics about how many people are in jobs that they'd like to trade in tomorrow to do something they'd prefer hadn't changed over like 20 years. So, of course it isn't just one person's job, it's a whole industry, but just we feel, people seem to feel a lot of pressure around money that they have to trade their passion for money. And my premise is that no, you don't necessarily have to do that. We all have unique gifts, and there are new needs emerging every single day. I mean, think about 20 years ago in our industry, we didn't have social media, we didn't have virtual assistants, we didn't have so many of the kinds of industries, launch assistants, social sellers, all of the different professions that have been created because we now have virtual experts online. So, I didn't become a lawyer because I felt like I had to. I really felt like I could best use my skills there until I learned otherwise. And so, you know, then you move on and you evolve as a human being. So I guess I don't really feel like they have to be two separate things.
I completely agree. I feel like everyone has a different purpose, and you kind of have to grow through life to find out what that purpose is, because I never thought that being in the fitness industry would have led me to my purpose of what I'm doing now. And that was spurred by getting into the online world and online wellness and then business coaching. And then again, like you said earlier, I guess the rest is history. And
right.
and it's still ever evolving. You know, Nancy right. and I may be doing something completely different, you know, 4 or 5 years from now. We're going to continue to just kind of lean into this thing mm-hmm. and see what comes out on the other side. I mean, that's the way that you have to go through life. Exactly. So, you know, you've been in multiple professions. You know, you've been in the law profession. You've done coaching, consulting, leadership development. You've done all these different things. Looking back on your professional career outside of what you're doing right now, what career path do you feel was most instrumental in setting the course for what you're doing right now as a leadership coach?
It's a tough question to answer exactly the way you said it. I started working when I was 14 in my folks' store, auto parts store. It's another story for another day, but in any event, I think that that move actually in my sixth grade year, believe it or not, was the key to everything else. Like having a fresh start, new friends, new school, new place to be. And it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. And so I've done that a lot. I moved a lot before I, you know, before recently when, you know, with my spouse of 27 years, I changed my major a few times. You know, I've changed, I don't know how many careers and jobs I've had, but because I'm ever looking for new interests. I will say though, that by the, you know, becoming an entrepreneur was the point when I really felt like I was finally on purpose for the first time, that I wasn't going to max out and burn out or just get bored and something in 6 months, because there's always something new to learn. There's always something new to grow. And that's why I love coaching too, because there are new strategies, new techniques, new, you know, evolutions of online marketing, all the different things that can keep people stimulated. And I think I like the no end in sight to that. So I think that just knowing that we can make fresh starts, if, you know, I've worked with clients, especially in the career space, where they had been in jobs for 30 years, which I think, you know, will not be happening a whole lot going forward, but still is in some cases. And it's like, they're so used to the routine that they really had to stop and think about everything they were doing and what do they really want? Because when you're in that mix, you don't. You just go through the routine until something is a pattern interrupt of some kind. The spouse leaves, the job is gone, the kids go off to college, whatever it is. So,
and it's being very present and aware of all of what's going on in those surroundings and really paying attention. I think that's the big thing. You know, it's getting your head out of the sand and really looking up and seeing what's going on. Now, right. You know, entrepreneurship is one of those buzzwords that people kind of throw around a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of people that classify it as, you know, when people say they're an entrepreneur, they could be just living in their parents' basement, selling stuff on Amazon. Do you feel, being an entrepreneur as long as you have and as long as I have, do you feel that every single person has an entrepreneurial piece inside of them that they can then monetize and use for the greater good?
Not necessarily. In the same way, Thomas Leonard used to say, you know, you've heard of him in the coaching industry. Last time I saw him, I was actually in cancer treatment, and that was one of the things I treated myself to. And he died a couple of years after that. He said, you know, everybody can be a coach. And I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. You know, we all have different personalities. You can take your pick of personality assessments out there. Some people are just simply more independent thinkers. I also use numerology in my business with my clients. And so that also opens up doors of, you know, 11 different personality types and life paths that people are on. And so there certainly are ways of bringing creativity to a corporate job by being an entrepreneur. But some people just really like being as supportive as they can to someone else. And we love those people because we need them too, right? And that's their role. And so, you know, there are ways to help support them in becoming more, you know, more capable, develop more skills if, let's say, they're on our teams. But I don't necessarily think that everybody is cut out to have their own business.
I agree. And, you know, sometimes people have to learn the hard way that they may not be cut out for entrepreneurship, and not that it's a safer play to go back to being an employee. But again, you know, there are a lot of people that are fulfilled with their passion and purpose by serving others and helping them with someone with their own business or desire. So I think a lot of that is needed.
I got to tell you a funny story. I did a series with our local ABC affiliate here, a television series a while back. And I started chatting with some of the crew members and that were doing the, you know, the cameras and the you know, the gaffes and all that sort of thing. And every single one of them had a side hustle of some kind, just as a backup, because the industry's so volatile, you know, you can be on and off again in a short time, and even more true today, I think. But, you know, it was just funny that even if you've got a job that you really like, it doesn't hurt to have one of your other passions be expressed in something that you could rely on in times like last year with COVID and everything, you know, whatever happens. I saw my mother through 2 years of illness before she passed away in 2018. And, if I hadn't had the flexibility that this kind of work provides, I wouldn't have been able to be with her in another state and still running a business.
So. Yeah, I read somewhere, and I share this often, the average millionaire has between 4 to 6 streams of income. Right. And you never want all your eggs in one basket. And that doesn't mean you have to hold down 3 jobs and work 24/7, but it's okay to really lean into some of those passions. Funny you brought that up. I strangely enough got back into card collecting. I was really into sports cards. I started in 1987.
Why am I not surprised?
I was 8 years old. I was 8 years old, mm-hmm. and I collected cards all through, high school, and then even it was funny. It restarted when I was in my early 20s. And the funny story about that is my buddy, Josh Perlman, he's probably not listening, but he may be. He was working for the FLIR Corporation. And FLIR is one of the major card companies. You have Donruss, you have FLIR, you have Topps. And he was just starting out and he didn't have enough money outside of rent to pay me for personal training. So he said, would it be okay if I gave you some boxes of cards in exchange for personal training? And I said, absolutely. So I would do a couple sessions. He would bring me some boxes, and it was basketball cards at that point. Mm. And so I got back into it for, another couple of years, and then it kind of just sat on the back burner. But, and then I became a dad. And then as Taylor became interested in Pokemon cards and Magic cards and sports cards, now he'll be 9. He started collecting when he was around 6 or 7. I was at a barbecue, and my one of my best friends, Mike, and his brother, Dave, have always collected, like from the time still now, they've been collecting for 35 years.
Wow.
And now their kids are into it. I'm like, you know what? Like, it's important to have a hobby outside of what you do. And sometimes those passions become, profits as well. So in the last 2 months or so, we, as a family, my wife, myself, and Taylor, we kind of got into card collecting. They're doing more Magic cards, which is a game. And I'm into the sports cards. Again, I'm over my computer right here. I'm looking at the stacks of cards I have now. And it feels so good because it's just so, and again, going back to what you said about flexibility, it's so nice to have another focus, something that brings you joy. Like the feeling, Marcia, of when I was a little kid and I would get those packets of cards and I would open them up and you'd kind of look for the best. That feeling is still there now at 42 years old. Mm-hmm. I pulled a card the other day that's worth $1,000. And wow. I was like running around the house. I'm like, Nancy, look at this one. So it's so important to lean into that inner child. And it's a perfect segue. And I feel it's so important that the audience hears this. You sold your law practice, you got in your RV, and you just took off. What was the most impactful moment of that experience for you that you've been able to keep with you? And you've, even though you're grounded now, you're
had 3 RVs since then, actually.
So yeah. Maybe that aspect hasn't been grounded, yeah. But you're in Oregon now and you have your roots.
Right.
But what did you learn from that experience that you were able to take through all of the different journeys that you've been on in business?
Oh, great question. You get away and put, and you're living in that kind of a vehicle. You wonder, what in the hell is that stuff in the storage unit? Why do I need all that stuff? And of course, you've got your built-in furniture, that kind of thing. But it just really makes you, I think, focus more on what matters in life. At one point, we were just majorly selling off stuff because it was like, why, we don't need to maintain all this you know, these items, these material items. So I think that was part of it. And then just the joy of being able to have a familiar environment, but go see all these amazing places. It's a wonderful way to live, really. And that's why we've done it for 3 different years during the course of our time together, and another year on a boat, which is a whole other story too. But yeah, and so I like the I like having my options open, and I like being able to not have to be bound by the same schedule that everybody else is. I mean, I remember when it first started, you know, I first had that opportunity when I was in my own law practice. It's like, I can go to the mall on Wednesday morning and not have anybody, you know, tell me I'm supposed to be at work. There won't be anybody else there, will there? And I was kind of surprised that there was, but just feel a little guilty taking time to do something that's non-work related during what would be work hours. So it's nice to have that freedom though.
Yeah. You know, freedom and flexibility is something that Nancy and I are now really experiencing. So, you know, my life now with her is completely different than my life was without her when I was still in the fitness industry. And, you know, I was bound to 2 businesses in 1. I was bound to the gym because I had to open it at 5 a.m. So I had to be there to make sure that everybody was there and the staff was running the operations of the day. But I also had a personal training and sports nutrition practice within it. So I had a whole personal clientele base within my own membership base. And when you're a personal trainer, you live to your schedule. And Marcia, I remember so clearly, it got to the point, because I started personal training really young. I was 19 years old. So, you know, I had put, by the time I finished personal training after 18 years, so I was, you know, 5 years ago, I retired. I was around 37. I had put in over 65,000 hours of personal training in my life. And that's more than people will ever do in their entire career. Because I was training literally at 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. every single day, you know, Monday through Friday, half days on Saturdays. I had a day and a half off. I had half of Saturday and all of Sunday off. And the anxiety would build on Sunday, getting ready for Monday again. So it was this vicious cycle I was in. Plus, I was competing in bodybuilding and it just was a mess. But I remember, you know, being at the gym on a Friday night at like 7 o'clock, or even on a Thursday night. And I remember thinking, I'm like, I want to be that person working out with my trainer, getting ready for my dinner with my friends. I was the one that was always training everybody else on their way to go out and live life. And meanwhile, I was still at the gym and I was the one getting home at 9 o'clock at night, shoving food in my mouth, taking a shower and going to bed and doing it all over again. Mm-hmm. And the flexibility that Nancy and I have now with our life, where I only work 3 days a week. I don't work Wednesdays or Fridays. You know, we're going on an 8-day vacation where, again, we can take our laptops wherever we need to be. It's really nice having the flexibility and the options. And people, I'm not, you know, Marcia and I aren't saying this with like any ego behind it.
No.
The point of why we're saying this is because we want you to think outside the norm. You know, no one wakes up and says, you know what, I want to live a really mediocre life. You know, people
exactly.
People don't want to live a mediocre life. My whole point is if you want life to be different, if you want to experience life in a different way, you can. And that looks different to each person. That could be getting in an RV. And a lot of people are doing this. You see it all the time on social media. They're buying RVs and they're just driving around the country, just experience things. And again, you know, we have an almost 9-year-old, so we can't do that right now. He's in school, but we find other ways to experience life. And I think you have to find what those passions and what those experiences are for you that make you feel full, that make you live. And I think, you know, looking at one's own mortality and, you know, you having that flexibility to be with your mother, you know, it makes you appreciate what you've created. Because again, you know, everyone feels that, you know, every day is guaranteed and given. And I'm sorry, you know, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's not like we are not promised, no matter how young or old you are, none of us are we're not promised anything. We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know that after this past year, then yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, you know, we're not saying live your life like it's your last day on earth, but live a fulfilled life every single day. You know, figure out those things that really fill your cups. Now, you know, you have very unique and very specific programs and how you help people. So talk to the audience a little bit more deeply about your programs. I know that you have an amazing workshop coming up that I want you to talk about as well. But what, and I loved what you said earlier, is that what really makes you different than other leadership or thought leadership coaches is you. And I tell people all the time the same thing with me. There's other LinkedIn coaches out there, but they're not Scott. They're not. So what makes you different with what you teach, and tell the audience a little bit about the program and how you help people?
Sure. Well, we because it's Thought Leader, Transformational Thought Leaders International, our goal is to help people become leaders in their own space, to become the go-to expert. And so we're speaking to the people that really want to put their own unique message out there and gather a tribe around themselves in order to experience the both the freedom and the wealth that comes with that. And so we have a couple of different coaching programs that we offer that are evergreen enrollment, where we can help you build your platform out. We can also, we're soon going to be offering a coach certification in our business coaching method. And the workshop itself is actually called High Ticket Coaching Breakthrough. It starts September 13th. And so we periodically offer complimentary week-long workshops. It's an hour a day where you have the opportunity to really get some of the basic concepts and principles that you need to create, in this case, a high-ticket program. So if you're a course creator or a coach that's doing one-on-one services, or even we've had some therapists come in and they want to leverage further, they want to experience a 3-day week instead of a 9-day week, for example, then that is one of the best and quickest ways to do that, with only changing a couple of different things in your business. So that's coming up. And then we also have a free gift if you would like to take advantage of that. It's a new report that I literally just finished this morning called 5 Keys to Knowing If You're a Thought Leader in the Making and 2 Paths to Get There. And that is at transformationalthoughtleaders.biz/gift. Okay, transformationalthoughtleaders.biz/gift. So invite people to connect with us either through those opportunities or on Facebook, and love to have a dialogue with you if you are intrigued by our conversation here.
Awesome. And for all the listeners, all the information that Marcia shared will be in the description of this episode, so you don't have to look too far. It's all going to be there for you. Able to click. As far as, if you're thinking what should your next steps be, anytime someone of Marcia's caliber is giving away something for free or a gift, obviously her, the gift that she has on her website, but spending a week with her, we always talk about building that know, like, and trust, and, no one buys anything from anyone that they don't know, they don't like, and they don't trust. This would be a great opportunity for you to get to know her and what she is so skilled and specialized at. So I highly advise all of you that are listening to this to register for that. It's coming up right around the corner. The registration link is right in the link of this episode. So absolutely check it out. So Marcia, first, thank you again so, so much for being here today. Just grateful for you and your transparency and your vulnerability and all the We probably could have talked for a couple hours because there's so many stories that you have. What we might have to do another episode, but just to really appreciate you and what you shared. But the most important question that I want to ask, and I always end every episode with this, is what does success truly mean to you?
Great question, and I always think in terms of something that I can experience today. That success isn't like when I reach this income goal, or when I get, the kids out of the house, or when this whatever is over with. Yeah, those are goals along the way, and they're going to happen. But I think success is the quality of your journey. And so if I can bring joy to not only my day, but I can also brighten someone else's day today, that's success to me.
God, that's spoken like a true thought leader themselves. And again, Marcia, I've done close to 300 episodes and close to 150 interviews up to this point, and not one person, and I say this every episode, not one person has mentioned money. It's always what someone can do for someone else, how they can leave someone better, how can they live their life more presently. I think in the social media world that we live in, I think a lot of has gotten lost in translation about what success really is, that people think it's the amount of money in your bank account, the car you drive, the size of your house, you know, the make and model of the clothes that you're wearing. And success is inside of you. And it's also how you show up each and every day. So loved your answer. I knew I would, but again, just wanted to thank you so much for being here today, and can't wait for my audience not only to listen to this multiple times over, but to take action and to not only download your free gift, but also to attend your free workshop. So thank you again for being here today.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
Absolutely. So everyone, again, all of the information on Marsha will be in the description of the episode. Take advantage of her free gift. Take advantage of her workshop. And as always, please enjoy the rest of your days, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much again for checking out today's episode. And if you are listening through iTunes, Spotify, wherever you are, please leave me a rating and review. Let me know what you loved, what you would like to see improved, or ideas you have for future episodes. And if you are interested in taking your business to the next level, don't hesitate to go to my website, www.scottaron.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me, where I can learn more about you, your business, what you're struggling with, and how we can work together. And don't forget to check out my wife, Nancy, and mine, our free community on Facebook called LinkedIn Leads for Life. We would love to see you in there. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you, everyone, for your support. Grateful for each and every one of you.